Over to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 18. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 18. It said, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land." Let's pray together today. Father, Lord, we bow our heads to you today, and Lord, we know that you are a great God. And God, this story that we read just shows your power to be able to do anything. And Lord, I think about our world today, and truly even in our congregation today, there's many needs and hurts and problems, and God, you're able to solve every one of them. And God, I pray you'd help us all today to have faith, to reach out and touch you, Lord, to seek you out and find you and ask for help for the great needs that we have. And God, I pray you'd increase our faith as you deliver them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to look today, as we look at this passage of Scripture, at really two different people that had two different needs and two different great problems. And as they come, you know, we ask ourselves the question, why'd they come to Jesus? And they came to Jesus because they had problems. Amen? And man, if you look around our world today, you look around our world this morning, we live in a world with a lot of things going on. Amen. And a lot of great problems. You know, we mentioned earlier the wildfires in California. What a terrible thing, right? I mean, people have lost their homes. There's people who've lost their parents. They've lost a spouse through it. They've lost all sorts of things. I read a story in the USA Today this week about that, how an older couple got in their swimming pool, you know, everything's burning around them, and she didn't make it, you know, and it's just a bad deal. But also, you know, pastoring a church, I get to hear from people every week, and can I tell you a little secret this morning? There's a lot of people got a lot of problems. As we sit here, there are folks whose marriages are in trouble. There are people who are underwater financially. There are people that have great health crises going on right now. There are people with wayward children. There are people with addictions. And so we live in a world full of problems. And I want to tell you something today. Whatever your problem is, whatever your need is today, Jesus is the answer to your problem. These folks knew that. They knew that if we could get to Jesus, if we can touch Him, if we can get Him to come help, then our problems can be fixed. And I want to tell you the same exact thing is true today that was true in their day. And that's that Jesus can help you today with whatever is going on. You know, I think, too, about all these problems that go on and what's going on in the world. And you have to ask yourself, well, why did these people go to Jesus, right? Because everybody doesn't go to Jesus. Right. Some people have problems and go other places. Well, why did they go to Jesus? They went to Jesus, number one, because they had heard about Jesus. They had heard about His great healing power. They had heard how He could change people's lives. They had heard how He could take the most dire circumstance and turn it around. And can I say this to us today? Do you know what? People need to hear about Jesus today.
Amen.
And if we don't tell them,
right,
who's going to tell them? Amen? If we don't tell them about what Jesus can do, if we don't tell them that He can fix their problem, if we don't praise Him for what He's done for us, then where are they going to turn to when they begin to look for help? Where are they going to turn to when a problem and a crisis hits their life? Where are they going to go? They need to hear from us that Jesus Christ has helped us through the darkest days of our life.
Amen.
We need to tell them that Jesus Christ has given our life meaning and purpose beyond our wildest dreams.
Amen.
And we need to brag on Jesus. Amen. By the way, there's much to brag on.
Amen.
We brag on our kids, and sometimes we oversell that some, right? We brag on ourselves sometimes, and we put ourselves a little higher than we ought to. But we can't ever brag too much on Jesus. We can't ever oversell it. We can't ever overhype it. All we can ever do is fall short of it, but we need to be bragging on Jesus every chance that we get. Man, we've got co-workers, and we've got neighbors, and we've got loved ones, and we've got people that we come in contact with, and we need to let them know about Jesus Christ. Man, I think about these hurricanes and all these storms, and you know what it is? It's terrible stuff. But it's an opportunity for those churches in those places to minister the grace of Jesus Christ and His love to a hurting and needy people. And what we need to do is look around in our lives and find out who's hurting and who's needy and who needs help. And we need to minister to them the love and power of Jesus Christ. They had heard about Jesus. They also saw Jesus. I believe that they've seen Him do great things, right? It's one thing to hear about it, and it's another thing to see it. As someone said, I don't believe anything I hear and only half of what I see. Amen? And we can be like that in a lot of ways. Well, they saw Jesus in action. And you say, well, how can they see Jesus in action today? They see Jesus in action today through us.
Yes.
You see, I am of the opinion that talk oftentimes is cheap, right? In ministering and pastoring the church for 12 years, I can tell you what I've learned in 12 years of pastoring is that people love to talk about serving Jesus. Very few love to serve Him, amen? People love to talk about doing a great work for God and what all we're going to do. Very few like to do it when it comes time to actually doing the actual work about it. And here's what people need to see. They need to see us living supernatural lives. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Derek? Well, here's what I mean. Forgiving people that have hurt you is a supernatural deal. It's natural for me to hold a grudge. It's natural for me to want to get even. It's natural for me to want to wish ill on somebody. But for us to forgive and for us to live in grace and for us to live out the mercy of Christ is an amazing thing. And not just forgiveness, but other things, whether it be peace, whether it be hope, whether it be love, whatever the fruit of the Spirit you want to plug in there is this. People need to see a difference in us, and the difference in us is Jesus, and we need to point them to Him. That's how they can actually see Jesus today. They see it through us. He lives within us, amen? If you're saved, the Holy Ghost has come and took up residence in your soul. And if a God as big as God is lives in you, He ought to come out of you somewhere. Amen? And we ought to show people Jesus Christ. You know, I think too, when you go looking for Jesus, I want to tell you something you're going to find. And it's an amazing thing. Look in verse 18. It said, while He spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. And then as He went with that ruler, that's when the woman with the issue of blood went and touched Him. And you know what will happen when you go and seek out Jesus, what you're going to find? You're going to find that Jesus is very, very busy. He's very active. Some people think that He's not today, but I want to tell you something right now, that Jesus Christ is working in your life right now. You say, well, I don't feel it. I don't know. Well, you're here today. And I want to tell you, He's doing hundreds of thousands of things in your life to bring you about to the place where He wants you to be. And by the way, you came here today, and I want to tell you what He's working in everybody else's life around you.
Yeah.
Not only in your life, but look at all these people. And then look at all everybody around the world. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is very busy today. Do not believe the lies that God's not busy, that He's not at work, that people's lives aren't being changed, that He's not touching folks. I want to tell you something. Jesus is at work, and He is at work in you, whether you know it or not, whether you feel Him or not, whether you're aware of it or not. The good news is most of the time we're not even aware of it.
Yes.
He's doing something and bringing about things and bringing us to places where He'd have us to be. He is at work. But now let's look at these two different people, their problems and the situations that they were in. This guy comes and he gets Jesus, and we'll get to him later. But as they're on their way, there is a woman with an issue of blood. And you understand what that is, and she's having issues there, bleeding and all this. And it's been going on in her life for 12 years. I want to tell you something about her problem. Her problem caused her pain and suffering and discomfort. Her problem caused embarrassment in her life. It affected where she went. It affected what she did. It affected every area of her life, okay? Also, not to get really into it, but in the Old Testament, a lady had not been bleeding for 7 days to be considered clean.
Yes.
And so in this Jewish culture, in this Jewish society and world that we're not familiar with, do you understand that as she's just bled nonstop for 12 years, can I tell you what everybody else viewed her as? Unclean.
Yes, sir.
I mean, other people viewed her differently. They viewed her as an unclean person. And what a terrible thing to go on for 12 years. And so, you know, when I think about you, and I really want you to ask yourself today what your problem is. What's your great need? What's your need today? If you say, I don't have a need today, well, we'll get to you in a minute, amen?
Yeah.
We'll get to you in a minute. But I don't know what your need might be or what your problem might be, but there are people here who have problems that are, just like this lady, it's very embarrassing. Right? I mean, it's very embarrassing. And the reason why you're not going to get any help and she got help is because she went, in spite of her embarrassment, and went and touched the hem of Jesus' garment.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people tell me all the time everything's fine and it couldn't be further from the truth. We get blindsided by somebody calling and saying, my wife left me. You thought everything was fine. I get preacher friends call me and say, I resigned the church. Thought everything was fine. You know? People living on credit cards and they've keeping up appearances, right? And yeah, we're going on vacations and we got all the money we need and we got everything else. Next thing you know, bankruptcy and embarrassment ensues. I don't know what you might be embarrassed about today, but I want to tell you what, Jesus will help you today. And I might not understand, these people might not understand, but I know somebody who will understand. And the one who will understand is Jesus Christ, amen. That's what this lady knew. She said, hey, she knew that nobody else would understand. She even herself didn't quite understand, why me? Why is this going on to me? But she knew if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I know He has the power to help me. I know He has the power to make me clean and make me whole. And, when you think about that, you don't understand. Can I tell you what? There's people here sitting right here today who's got problems that are embarrassing. I don't know about you, but if you'd like, hey, we talked about David this morning in Sunday school, right?
Yeah.
He had some bad problems. And I asked him in Sunday school, I said, how would you like it if your worst moments were wrote down and all the world could remember them? How would you like it today if your worst moments, I mean, I'm talking about the bottom of the barrel for you, if we cut the lights off and we displayed them on the wall over here and we watched them played back. If I said we're going to start with one and we're going to go through the whole crowd, I guarantee you before the first one's over, the doors would be moving and people would be driving off, including me, amen?
Yeah.
You know why? Because we've done some embarrassing, shameful things. that we are not proud of and that we don't want nobody to know about. But let me tell you what, Jesus can help us. You know, I think too, when I think about this lady and how other people viewed her, right? And, you know, we know, we would view this lady as, you know, has a medical problem, and today we'd be compassionate to her. But others back then, they didn't see it that way. And can I tell you something today? You might have a problem that you don't think is a problem, but everybody else does. That's like I said, you might say that, I don't have a problem. Well, ask somebody else. You say, well, I don't have anything that needs to be improved in my life. Well, let's ask someone else if you got anything that needs to be improved. See, there's a lot of self-righteous people who say, oh, I'm good to go. I don't have anything to repent about today. I mean, I would say I'm sorry, but there's nothing to be sorry for. I'm just so good. Well, let's ask your neighbors and your kids and your spouse and your parents and all of them. Maybe you got a problem. Maybe other people view you in a different light. And so if you've deceived yourself today that you don't have any issues or no needs or no room for improvement in your life, I hate that for you because you can't get no help today. The only people that can get help today are those that raise their hand and say, I need help. These people were in desperate need, and they came to Jesus and they found help. You know, she also had this problem for 12 years. That's a long time. I've been pastoring this church for 12 years. And to have a problem for 12 years, can I tell you this? Some of you, some of us, have dealt with sins in our lives our whole life. We've had the same struggles our whole life for a long, long time. And you know what? I want to tell you something today. You might struggle with it the rest of your life, but you don't have to be defeated by it. Amen? You might struggle with it for the rest of your life, but it doesn't mean that you can't have victory today over it, and you can have victory in Jesus' name. Now look at what she did. She sees Jesus walking by. I mean, her opportunity is there. And it says in verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. What amazing faith, amen? I don't got to speak to him. He doesn't have to know I'm there. I got so much faith in the power of this man to deliver me that all I've got to do is touch the hem of his clothes and I'll be made whole. That's faith, folks. That's faith. Faith in the power of Jesus Christ. Now, she reaches out and touches him. And this is in other portions of Scripture as well. We know in another place in Scripture, Jesus says, hey, who touched me? They said, the disciples said, Jesus, there's a bunch of people here, man. You're getting touched everywhere. We're bumping through a crowd. He said, no, somebody touched me in faith. Somebody touched me to be healed. Well, in our text here, he looks around, turns around, looks at her, and says this to her. He says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Our faith has made thee whole. You know, I want to tell you something today. Our faith has got to be mingled with action or it becomes null and void. Amen. These two folks had problems and they had faith, but they put actions with their faith. Jairus' daughter went, daddy went and got Jesus. Oh, he had faith he could heal her. He went and got her. This lady had faith. She still reached out and touched him. And you might have faith today, but I want to tell you something. Our faith has got to be mingled with works. It's got to be mingled with an action that we have to do what we can do. We actually have to do all that we can do so God can do what only He can do, and that's heal. This lady did all she could do. I mean, reached out and touched it. And for us today, let me say this. Jesus said this, thy faith has made thee whole. I like another portion of Scripture that says this, be it unto thee according to your faith. And you know what we need to do? If you got an issue today, now some of y'all are going to say, Brother Derry, that's hocus pocus, name it, claim it stuff. No, this is faith. You know what you got to do? You got to live like it is. So You got something you want? You got something you want changed? You got to live and believe it like it's going to happen, like it is happening, and like God is at work doing it. See, some of us say that we have faith and we live like it's not going to happen. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Noah could say, hey, I had faith, but what if he didn't build the ark, right?
Yeah.
God said, Noah, there's a flood coming, you need to build the ark. And he said, I believe it's coming. I'm not going, nah, I ain't going to build that ark. I'm not worried about that. No, he believed it. And it led him to do the action that brought about victory in his life and saved his life. And so you got to have faith, but you got to live it and believe it and believe it like it's so. Thy faith has made thee whole. Your faith in Jesus, what you've done, can deliver us and save us and give us victory over any problem that we may have. This woman's faith made her whole. Yours can too as well. Now this other person with a problem today in our text was a man named Jairus. It doesn't say that in our text, but in another text it lets us know that that's who he was. His problem was even more severe. His daughter has died. And what faith he had, you know what we would do in his shoes is say, oh, it's over, right? She's dead. But he says and goes and finds Jesus and says, my daughter right now is dead. But if you'll come and lay your hand on her, she can live. Now that's serious faith there, folks. And Jesus gets up and goes with him, the disciples too. And that's when the lady touches the hem of his garment. He gives on. You see how I'm telling you, Jesus is always busy. He was already saying one thing, and somebody come get him, go do another. Somebody touched him on the way. He's always got something going on. Well, he gets there, and you know what they're doing? And again, it's a cultural deal. They got mourners at the house. And they're mourning the death of this child and crying out and moaning and all this stuff. It was really a cultural ritual deal that they do. And Jesus goes in there amongst those mourners and says, y'all give me some room here. This girl's not dead. She's just asleep. And you know what it says that they did? It says that they laughed him to scorn. Laughed at Jesus. Said, you fool. Who are you coming in here telling us this child's not dead? Of course, Jesus goes over there and takes the child by the hand and then picks her up. She gets up and lives. And the laughter turned into amazement at the power of Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you this question today about this situation for us. What in your life is dead that you would like to see revived? I'm talking about it's dead. It's dead. Maybe you have a relationship with someone that is dead. Not speaking, haven't spoke, maybe with a child, maybe with someone else, and it's dead. And you say it ain't never going to be again. Maybe your walk with God is dead. You hadn't read your Bible in so long, you don't remember the last time you read it. You haven't prayed in so long, you don't remember the last time you've prayed. You used to walk with God, you used to have a relationship with Him, you used to know Him, but now it is gone and it's dead. Maybe you had a dream in your life to do something or to see something happen or to see something go on. And for whatever reason, that dream died, and today it is dead. Can I tell you something? Jesus can revive all those dead things. He can revive that relationship. He can revive your walk with Him. He can revive that dream that you had to do whatever it was that you wanted to do, or whatever the case may be. He can revive those things in our lives. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, don't be a doubter, amen? That's just like these folks laughing at Jesus. I come to you and say, hey, Jesus can revive what's dead. And you say, ha! Brother Derek, you don't know. You don't know about what happened with me and them. You don't know what I've done. I can't go back to God. You don't know all this stuff. Well, all I know is this girl was dead. Gone. They mourning her. They about to bury her. Lazarus was already buried. Amen? And Jesus come and revived it. So he can take dead things. I'm talking about things that thought you could not bring them back. There was no hope for it. And God can do an amazing thing in it. He's done it in the life of our church. He's done it in the lives of others. He's taken dead things and made it new and made it alive again. And He can do the same thing for you. You know, what we have to do is just remember that God can do anything. I think about those kids over there in children's church and in Sunday school, and you know what those kids think? They think that God can do anything. And what happens is we get grown and we think He can't do anything anymore. The crazy thing is today, if I was to stand up here today and tell y'all, if I said, you know what, God didn't create the sun, y'all would fight me and it'd be a bad problem. Y'all would say, how dare you, Brother Derek? Say, we believe it so much, we're going to run you out of here. But I said, hey, you know, God can fix your relationship. No, He can't. Yeah. You said He created a large burning ball of gas and hung it in the universe, and we can't even explain it all. You believe that so much, but you don't think He can fix your problems. God can do anything. Jairus knew his little girl laying home dead. He said, I know somebody can do anything. I'm going to go get him. I'm going to bring him back. He can raise her up. That woman had an issue of blood, 12 years. All the doctors spent all her money trying to get healed. She said, I know somebody. If I can just touch him, I'll be all right. Today, I don't know what your problem is or what you're facing or what your need is, but I want to tell you something. God can help you. Jesus can help you. He can solve it. He can fix it. He can give you the grace to get through it. Amen. What we got to do is have faith. And we got to mingle our faith with works. And say, I'm going to reach out and touch Him. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to believe in faith. I'm going to do in faith. Hey, I'm going to believe that it is until it is. Amen. I'm just going to live it like it's happened. Noah was building an ark like a flood was coming. You know what we got to do? We got to live our lives. We got to live our stuff like we believe God's going to fix whatever we need Him to fix. And we're going to keep going on. Amen. Whatever you need today, get to Jesus, and you touch Him, and He'll help you. Amen? Why don't you stand with us today as we have a time of invitation?